Welcome to From the Library with Love, a podcast for anyone whose life has been changed by reading. Libraries are about so much more than books. Just ask librarian for Kingston-upon-Thames, Marion Tessier, who trained as a board game librarian. On National Board Game Day, she gives us a fascinating glimpse into her job.
Was it always a vocation, or a passion, a vocation with you to be a library worker, which seems to be the case with a lot of people I've spoken to?
Yes, I actually have a quite specific background because I'm French, and yeah, I actually have a degree in library science. And I don't know, I think I always wanted to share things. When I was a kid, I didn't know what I want to do, but I remember specifically that I wanted to share the cool stuff that I knew and things like that. So it's a very egocentric approach.
I don't think it is egocentric, because actually you have that in common with a lot of people. It's about wanting to impart and share knowledge. Yeah. Facilitating other people to share knowledge. And I think that's probably the opposite end of the spectrum to being egocentric. It's about wanting to enable others, actually. So it's about being...
Fair enough.
What I now see with library workers is that it's a love of people, more so than books, perhaps. And that seems to be a myth, I think, that, you know, librarians are introverted and just love books. That's actually the opposite.
Yeah, you need to love the public. So yeah, basically I got a library science degree, and then I started to work in France, and I specialized. So basically when I moved to the UK, I never worked with books in libraries.
Oh, okay.
So I specialized in cinema, board games and video games in libraries. I used to be a board game librarian. I created an entire cinema section for libraries. So, and I work a lot with digital.
It's a board game librarian. Wow.
So it's not something in the UK, but in France it's something we have, video games and board games librarian. It's still not something that is really common, but it's
how prevalent is it in France? Does every library have one in France?
So no, not every library has one, but it is way more present than in the UK. But to be fair, the situation is way less dire in France in terms of public finance, and you know, we don't really have libraries that are closing in France.
Really?
And when it's in the UK, it's really bad.
Why do you think that is? Is it because the authority or the, you know, central government order have a more healthy respect for libraries?
Well, the thing is, in the UK, how it works is the central government stopped giving money to the local authorities, so each local authority has to do with their own local consumption tax and things like that. And that's not the case in France. We still have the central government tripling back on the local authorities. So yeah, it's different.
But that seems to me to tap into the fact that central government recognise the importance and the influence within its community. Whereas here, Boris Johnson even knew there was a Libraries Act. So there was a of local authorities to supply free books. He didn't even know that. So
not to become politic, but some persons/parties have less interest in culture than others, we'll say, or at least don't recognize the importance and the impact that libraries and similar places and institutions can have on a local community.
Yeah. French central government really do have that understanding of the power.
Budgets are still going down because it's hard for everyone, but it's not as bad as in the UK. And also there's a difference that is actually quite, I don't know how much an impact it is, but in France when you work in the public sector, it's really, really difficult to fire someone. When in the UK, if you have budget restriction, you can easily lay people off, but in France it's almost impossible unless you do something very bad, very terrible, or a crime or whatever. It's really difficult to fire someone.
Nice to be a librarian then.
We have other problems, but
I'm sure it's not all easy streets, but that's fascinating about a board game librarian. And tell me a little bit about that job, because that's not really something I've ever heard of.
That was my last job. Well, just spoiler alert, I'm working on building a board game collection for Kingston Libraries. So it's still top secret and nothing is acted yet, but it seems to be in good way. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, so my last job before I moved to the UK was, the title was Librarian in Charge of the New Technologies and the Board Game Libraries. So we had an entire room filled with board games. I think we had a collection of 600 board games, something like that. When I moved here, it was mainly aimed at children, so I developed the more adult gaming collection.
Yeah.
And it was a room in the library that was not open all the time, but was open, I think, almost every afternoon. So people could come in the library, play board games, and there was always a librarian there to either play with them or explain the rules. So we had like staff games afternoon to, well, game times to learn the rules and play together, which was also like a very good way to bond with the team. And while I was there, I started doing board games evening for the adults, because during the day it was mainly children coming to play.
Yeah,
so that was really, really cool. We had so we did that when the library was closed. Also, because we had such a collection, it was really a great way to work with a theme event. Like we did a Game of Thrones day, and I did an event where we played just a lot of medieval fantasy games. It was amazing. Or National Poetry Day, where we like played poetry games, something like that. So yeah, that was, and then we had such a good budget. We had 8,000 euros a year to buy board games. So that's like £7,000, something like that. So
incredible. Why did you leave then?
It's a whole story. But my husband lost his job and we moved here too.
Okay.
Because it was like we wanted to try it, living in London. And, I mean, there are lots of libraries. Well, at least more and more libraries don't necessarily have board games, but at least have video games. It's also like a big strand of things that we develop in France. And I also created the two video games collections. And that's also really, really interesting. I'm really proud of what we did. In one library where I walked in, where I created a video game collection, we had two video games events a month. So one was like, you know, very standard Mario Kart tournament, something like that. Or, you know, we had the things where we would have a librarian versus customer tournament, so the customer had to try to beat us, which was quite fun. But we once a month we also organized more experimental events, and for instance we had this series of events that were really popular where we invited the parents who had no idea what a video game was, had no idea what their children were doing on the computer or on the console, and we would explain everything. So every time we had a different console, so like they would come to the library, we would show them the PS4 or the Switch or whatever, show them everything from how do you plug in, how do you turn it on, how do you install a game, and how do you play. And we had some lovely, lovely feedback, people who came back to say, oh, I played with my son, like, yeah. That's so cool, you know, like people who never played video game before.
Yeah, so you're breaking down, you know, because as you're saying this, my son plays, you know, on the Xbox, and I don't have a clue what any of it is. Mm-hmm. Like, there's like a wall between us. It's a completely alien world to me.
Yeah.
Where you can see, you can break down those intergenerational barriers and I suppose some might say, well, it should be for books, but then actually if you're in a library, that's the next best thing, right? That you're surrounded by books and you're accessing a library. It's got to be a safe space and a way of finding a way to books as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Is that the theory?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, libraries are not about books, they're about culture and accessing culture in general. So if you consider that a game or a DVD or a video game is an object, or is a cultural object, for me, they really have their place in library. So of course, the core of the library is still the books, but I kind of stopped thinking like that. Again, I before I moved to the UK, I never worked with books myself, you know, directly. I was surrounded by books because obviously working in the library, but my roles were always gearing towards new technology, video games, cinema, etc. So
yeah. And ultimately you're so right about board games and video games being cultural objects, and therefore I guess it's about widening your gaze, isn't it? And just being considered, and then that way you're going to get a popular, well frequented library, which then is easier to defend and easier to keep open, because
especially as now the tendency, like the directions a lot of libraries are taking right now, is to become community hubs and place where the community come together, and it's easier to have the community come together around a board game than a book.
It's something you can share, isn't it? It's not you read a book, you're reading it on your own, you're playing a game, you're taking part in a social activity, I suppose.
Exactly.
What better way for people who come into the library who are lonely, people, it's a safe way for them to interact with people, isn't it, I guess?
Exactly.
It's amazing.
Exactly.
I can't think why it doesn't happen more when you say it. You point it out, it's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah, well, to be fair, it's mainly two things. One is the fact that in the UK there's not that many professionalization in these specific fields, so board game libraries, games librarians, etc. And the other one is very obviously the lack of money. And
You don't have £7,000 a month a year to buy board games.
What would happen in most libraries, at least in the UK, is that if someone wanted to, for instance, open a video game collection or a maker lab or whatever, there are ways to find grants to start the thing up, but then there wouldn't be like a yearly budget to maintain it. So it would be really good for like 1 or 2 years, and then there would be no way to actually keep up with the actuality and the new games and the new things that are coming out, and then it will slowly just, yeah.
Right. So how long have you worked for Kingston Libraries then?
So I've been, well, it's actually my first and only library job in the UK. So I've been working there for 5 years. Oh, 5 years next week, actually.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So,
thank you. So, yeah.
Your job title here, what's your role?
So my current role is, because it changed every 2 years or so, my current role is development officer, and I have two part-time roles. One is to focus on the events for all 7 libraries, and my other one is to focus on the digital and innovation, whatever that means.
Okay.
Basically, since the beginning of COVID and the lockdown and everything, I've been delivering lots of digital events, and we've been doing a lot of digital events.
You've been at Kingston Libraries, and you said there's 7 libraries within Kingston Libraries.
Yes, so right. We have 7 branches, and we also have a community library that brings books to older people or people who can't get out of the home.
So you've been there 5 years, and then, you know, I suppose, well, you've been there probably 3 years before the pandemic hit. And then, so therefore you, as, you know, in charge of digital offerings and events, that must have hit, it really challenged you almost overnight to have to bring these events online, but yet you did it so quickly. You were in the countries that are right to digitize and bring Rhyme Time online.
We were the first one to do the Rhyme Time live stream, which was good because that actually brought us a lot of attention on social media. But honestly, I feel a little bit bad because I know everyone had a very difficult year, and it was terrible for everyone, and a lot of death. I mean, coronavirus was a terrible crisis. But I actually had a blast at my job for the last year.
What aspect of it did you love the most then? Why? Why was it so miserable to you?
So what I really, really loved was the fact that because nothing was expected of us, we had total liberty to experiment. Wow. And basically, quite organically, a digital team formed. So basically, a lot of libraries workers were kind of deployed to the Kingston Stronger Together Hub, which was the coronavirus response, and they did an amazing job. But a few people kind of organically gravitated towards digital events, and we really experimented a lot. We did a lot of things that not everything worked, but a lot of things did work. Like during the, I think probably between March and, well, at least April and maybe August 2020, we had between 1 and 5 events a day. So when I say events, it's not necessarily interactive events. It's also a live stream video we created, I think, more than 500 original content video.
Okay. So, and what like, things, like, would you show?
So, like, ebook reviews, especially at the beginning, we did book reviews, but books that were accessible to download as an ebook immediately. And then when we reopened, we extended that to all the books that we could have in our collection. So, during the height of the pandemic, like, we slowed down a little bit because most members of the digital team came back to branch. So, now we're just doing 1 a week, but for the longest time, for several months, we did 1 a day. So every day we had a different book recommendation.
And how many would it be a library worker giving their opinion of a book, their book review, what they liked about it, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So it was a video, face cam video of people just talking about the book. And we would live stream that on our social media, and then we would upload to YouTube.
Have you got fitness videos?
Yeah, so that's something we did with we're still doing with the Fulham Football Club that sent us exercising video. We have this really, really cool series called Reading Nature, where the biodiversity officer of Kingston goes into the local wild space and talk about the local wildlife, and it's really, really cool. I love editing these videos. It's amazing. We have author Q&As. We had this really cool series at some point called Strange, Rare and Interesting Books, where the librarians would show books that we don't necessarily have in the collections, but books that are a little bit odd or a little bit interesting. We have these well-being videos that were once a week as well to help people cope with the lockdown. We have craft activities.
Incredible ideas here. I mean, obviously the things that you might expect, like the well-being of the book reviews, but I love the idea of the nature, nature and gaining an understanding of nature within your area.
And then we have more punctual events. Like last year, we did a very cool event that was a... Like, we did a tarot card reading that was a literary tarot card reading.
I love this. That's amazing.
We did a lot of really different things.
How to make mosaics. There's some really, really amazing imaginative ideas here.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been so lucky to work with these colleagues, and yeah, we did this amazing, honestly, it was so cool, virtual campfire day.
All right.
Where we actually had live events where we would, like, we would encourage the kids to build their own fake fire in the living room, like put their tent in the living room, and we had a storyteller tell ghost stories on Zoom around the campfire, and we had, like, this how to make campfire food at home. We had our colleague who made this amazing guide on how to do virtual camping in their home. And it was, honestly, if you have the opportunity to just go on our YouTube channel and have a look at these videos, they're amazing.
I'm definitely going to have a look after our interview. But how many videos have you got here? This huge.
We have more than 500, so that's a lot of things.
There's really something for everybody here, isn't there? Like, ages.
We also had, like, IT tutorials. We had, like, local community, like this guy just gave a King Kong taster session, which was really cool.
You and your team going generating these ideas and then going out and making them happen.
Exactly. We really experimented a lot. Honestly, it was someone would have an idea, we'll go, yeah, let's try that. We had
all nothing seems too off the wall. That's what I like about this. This is really, you know, it's like crazy ideas that actually seem to work, like the virtual campfire and
So that's just one part of our events, because the other part was to actually have the interactive events on Zoom and things like that. Right. So we had, we created a digital book group quite quickly that's still going strong, meets twice a month. Created digital escape rooms. We created, oh my God, so many things I kind of forgot. Like we have virtual board games evenings once a month. So many things, honestly, like all the rhyme times and story times are now live. This summer we had a really cool event last summer for new parents who didn't really know how to deal with becoming a new parent. So we had like Zoom meetings where they could meet other new parents in the area and just like exchange, have a little bit of a rhyme time and a little bit of networking. And
that's so valuable, you know, like, you know, when I first had my child it wasn't through the library, but it was through the NHS, but those services got cut. But then we would always go to the library with the kids and do the rhyme time. And it was one of my favourite things about being on maternity leave. It was like focal point of the week. And it's so valuable, you know? Like, so, yeah, I'm so thrilled that's continuing, because it's vital.
Yeah, we really tried to reach everyone in one way or another. And so the only thing that we were not, to be fair, was to reach the people who are not digitally savvy.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that was my next question. How do you access people that just can't or won't, rather?
Yeah, so we had some initiatives. We had actually a scheme where we gave tablets to people and tablets and training on how to use these tablets to people who are not digitally techy at all. We are also still in the process of having digital champions and volunteers to help people that are more vulnerable.
How did you find those people that aren't digitally savvy? Are they just, you remembered people that came into the library, but after the pandemic, how did you access them?
So for that, to be fair, we worked a lot with our community library service, because they're going to people's home and they can see whether they're or not they're digitally savvy. And but we're also working with other organizations in Kingston, because that's kind of one of the main focus of the town, to enable residents to become more digitally independent. We also did while we were open, we had a job club in most of our libraries that had to shut down, obviously, and we still haven't restarted the physical one. But since last December, I created a digital virtual a virtual job club that is once a week on Tuesday morning. And every week we have a different speaker to talk about all things employability, financial literacy, you know, things like how to write a CV, or, you know, even local. So the Job Center Plus as well does sessions on where to actually look for a job. And we had things around where to find a job once you're over 50. We had lots of different things. Yeah, and it's still continuing. We did a little break during the summer, but we're going to restart in September.
That's proving your worth. You're interacting in a really practical, tangible way for all people within society.
We're trying.
It's actually so much more than books. I mean, obviously you have the book reviews and you have book clubs, yeah, but a lot of it is much, much more than that. Do you think that you're bringing that? I mean, how many people in your team that work with you?
So my team is non-existent at the moment because we came back to branch, and because we're doing bubbles to try to not have cross-contamination between libraries, it's basically just me at the moment.
Just you?
Wow. Yeah.
But that's a lot of work. You must have been very, very busy this last 2 years.
Yeah, but the digital team that lasted until basically January this year, until April this year when we actually started to reopen. So basically between March 2020 and March 2021, I had between 7 and 10 people in the team. So that's why we created the bulk of the videos. Yeah. We actually even had one person that's really, really big, like one of her big and faces, even in her personal life, is to work on accessibility. And she decided to subtitle all of our videos.
Wow.
So she just worked full time in subtitling our ebook reviews and our tutorials and everything. So we also had, so I'm French, and we also have an Italian colleague. So the most important videos, like the digital tutorials and, you know, any update or information video, we also subtitled them in French and Italian, and also in Korean, because in New Malden, we have the biggest European Korean community. Yeah. So we also have some of our videos subtitled in Korean. Yeah.
I'm really blown away by what you've done and what you've created here. And you've got these YouTube like videos always, you know, you're creating a separate library almost of YouTube, aren't you?
Yeah.
Then you would argue seeing the libraries into the next generation, you know.
Well, we're not there yet, but we're getting there. What was really good for Kingston Libraries as well is that because we did attract a lot of attention, we've been asked to do things like we created a webinar for the British Library their Living Network knowledge on how to create online events. I've actually been asked to collaborate with the British Library on 2 events, one which was a game jam and the other one which was a Wikipedia editathon, where we had a theme and for a week we trained and helped people to modify Wikipedia articles. So it was for the Urban Tree Festival, so it was to modify Wikipedia articles about trees. Top secret still, but I've been asked by the Barbican to collaborate on a project as well for a library app.
That's acknowledged, recognized for what you're doing.
Exactly. That's pretty nice. That's a big ego boost for us to just such an institution.
It's a validation of what you're doing. And it strikes me purely from an outsider's point of view that you've been able to do this because you see libraries as more than places where people come in to loan books. You see them as cultural community hubs. I know that's the buzzword, but actually what's to stop you doing board games and video games and what is, there's nothing to stop you. So we need to widen the scope of thinking of libraries as repositories of books.
Yeah.
They're just one small part of, is that right? Because I think a lot of other, not a lot, but some libraries are still struggling with that concept, I think, of being community.
Yeah. Yeah. And also I think there might be a thing as well where librarians are not necessarily trained to get out of that vision. And I have to say, I mean, I've been really lucky because, I mean, honestly, it's going to sound so much like bragging, but because I'm, I think, quite good at my job, my managers really trust me and they really let me do anything I want.
They're probably
so that's really,
and they know
yeah, that. Oh, thank you. that really cut off the whole, you know, hierarchy validation thing, because they just like trusted me completely in leading this digital event.
I don't, if you were constantly having to justify your work, it wouldn't really work, would it?
But
if you need faith and trust in you and what you're doing, otherwise it would just be impossible, wouldn't it?
What really worked was the fact that we had the space to experiment and to fail sometimes. A lot of times we did fail on some projects.
You have to know what works and what's not going to work.
Absolutely.
I'm starting to notch up the interviews with different libraries. I can sort of see, and this is really, you know, broadly stereotypical, but it seems to me that libraries tend to fall into two camps. There are those like yourself who do see yourself as pioneers and this is all about a cultural community hub and we have to move forward. Like Exeter Library do some amazing things. They have like drag queen story time, which I love. Bring the theatres in. And you have the same energy and imagination and potential for whatever. Let's just try anything. As opposed to some people who you know, and with the best will in the world, a lot of libraries will fall into this because they have done things a certain way for so long around books. And then never before in history has it been that everything's had to shut down and everything has to change so quickly. That people like yourself that have been doing this for a while are well placed to quickly change and adapt.
Yeah.
You're already behaving like that. Whereas other people, you know, it's been a difficult and they've sort of almost been battling, haven't they, a little bit to get with that new way of thinking and get things online.
That's true.
Because if it's just about books and you're only offering about books, it's going to be very hard to move that on and connect with people locally.
Yeah, I mean, we've also been quite lucky in some ways because we have an amazing team, an exceptional team, and also a team that is not shy to be on camera, which is totally valid point for other libraries. Like, I mean, I would totally understand if someone wouldn't feel comfortable being on camera and things like that, but that does help quite a lot.
So, 100%. I think there are some people that just don't like the idea of, you know, they're like, oh, I'm not a YouTuber, but I guess, you're right. Again, it's that thing of, I don't want to be online. I don't want to present. That's not what I do. I don't do the events, but I'm guessing your team seem quite up for that in a way.
Yeah, some of them at least. But we really reached a really good equilibrium at some point where we actually had some people doing things on camera, like the craft videos, the interactive events, etc. And we also have had a team with a more technical side. We also opened our Instagram account. And honestly, the two person in charge of the Instagram account are so freaking amazing. We've been growing so much. We got to 1,000 followers in 5 months, something like that. We did this really cool thing, so we kind of stopped at the moment, but we might start it again, called Tea with a Librarian, where every Friday afternoon we had two librarians in discussion live on our Instagram and just these are discussing lots of things. Or I actually have a project to kind of relaunch that, but that's going to need a lot of coordination. I sent an email to every Kingston library in the world. Yeah. So Kingston, Ontario, Canada, Kingston in Jamaica, Kingston in Australia. And I just want to have a bunch of Kingston libraries talking to each other.
What a great idea. I love that.
I just had Kingston, Ontario coming back to me, so I'll resend a bunch of email. I'm not sure it's going to be possible, but I really like the idea.
Do you know what? Those ideas, you know, I love that. I absolutely love that. Those things inside the box, you know, kind of, because what about a way to connect and to think differently?
Yeah, and it would be really cool to see how librarians in other countries are working and what are the difference, what are the... And also, we do have people like asking us, is the library open today or can I, and they're not talking about Kingston libraries in the UK, they're talking about Kingston libraries in Ontario, they just Googled it and somehow, and I would love to see if like other libraries had the same problem, if we ever had people bringing back books that were ours, you know.
Just You know what? I would love to sit and listen to a conversation between you and the librarian of Kingston in Jamaica, Kingston, because you all have a name in common, but yet your lives are going to be so different. That's a
exactly. Idea. Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see if I ever manage to
oh, actually I hope that. You pull that off. That's my favourite idea. Yeah, I think you are. You're an ideas machine.
Well, yeah. So too much, too many, yeah. Because then you don't have time. But.
No, listen, it's better to have too many ideas and not enough time than no ideas. I would say.
That's a good point.
Fantastic. Because you know, people, that there's so much conversation now, isn't there, around how do libraries stay relevant, what's the future of libraries, etc. And you know, everything that you're doing and you're demonstrating is showing what the future of libraries is and how to stay in touch with what people want. You know, what are kids doing? What's going to get them in the library? What's going to keep it fresh and relevant? What's going to ensure your longevity? Everything that you're doing, I would say. It's been a joy talking to you, Marion, honestly. You've
Well, same for me, honestly. That was, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, and listen, I hope so. What have you got on for the rest of the day? Have you got your tea with the librarian thing? Or
No, not today. I actually need to write a proposal to have a video game collection. So that's the next exciting thing.
Well, I'll let you crack on with that. But listen, Marion, I really hope we get to talk again and work together again. Yeah. It would be a joy.
We'll do this underground kind of life. And I'm really excited for that now.
Oh, how cool would that be? Having a Q&A with underground, that is something completely new under the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very much in keeping with the way that these librarians who set up this underground library really saw themselves as social pioneers, you know, like conducting a pioneering experiment. They would have loved the idea of that, because who else would have thought a library in an underground tunnel, you know? So they were in keeping with the way that the spirit of the original library.
Well, I can't wait to read your book, honestly. I'm super pumped up now.
Make sure you get it, don't you worry. Well, listen, Marion, take care.
Thank you so much.
Right, have a lovely great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I really hope that you enjoyed that conversation. If you have any questions or comments about any of the topics raised in our conversation, or perhaps you have a story you'd like to share, then do get in touch via my website, Facebook or Instagram, details of which are all listed on the podcast. Thanks for listening.